This talk is about Apache Geode, a project, and how we implement security in this system. And so have you guys know about Geode or heard about it? Okay, I guess this is where you come to learn. So the Apache Geode is a new incubating project. Currently, it's a still incubating project in Apache, and we're soon to graduate. Oh, really? Okay. Okay, so that means we graduated. So we are top level. We are a top level project in Apache. And basically, Geode is a distributed in-memory database storage. It's a database-like storage that provides data management solutions. And things you can do to manage your cluster and data, that is, you can stop server, and you can input your data in this cluster and retrieve data or put data in it. And you can, there are various tools for you to help you manage your data in your cluster. Like we have a GFish, which is called a client. It's a CLI type tool for you to manage your cluster. You can start server, stop server, and you can see your configuration details about the servers and manage the statistics about your cluster. And there's also, you can interact with the data using Java client or native client, which is either we have C++ and .NET tools to interact with the data with your cluster. And you can also use any kind of GenMax client to monitor your cluster statistics. And we also have a RESTful API for you to retrieve the data and input data into your cluster. And we also have a web application, which is called Pulse, that monitor your cluster health statistics. So there's so many ways to manage your data, manage your cluster, interact with your cluster and data. And security, this poses a challenge to security. Like we have to secure so many fronts for you to get access to your data and your cluster. And then we talk about security. What is the security? This security talk is about. It's about authentication, authorization, and post-processing. And I have to say in the front, this security does not involve the security over the wire. Like that's governed by the SSL. So security over, this is purely user-level security, like how we authenticate you and how we authorize you for the operation you wanted to do in your cluster. And we also added the post-processing. Most of the security system doesn't have post-processing, but Geode do. So that is, it resolves the final value presented back to the user. Like once we know who you are, and we want to see some use cases demands that depending on who you are, you don't need to see all of the data, all of the region values that you wanted to see. So we have post-processing. I'll talk in detail about what that is about later. And so that is the scope of this security for now, of this talk. So that's Geode security. And this is a picture of the Geode system. I'm going to talk about what the Geode security is like before. So this is a typical Geode system. So you have a locator. Locator basically it tells you where your servers are. Server is where you host your data. And locator is just a way to locate those servers in your cluster. And a typical Geode system would have a locator and several servers that's governed by this locator. And you have all those peripherals that interact with your cluster, like the client, the GenMax client, the GFish, and the Pulse and rest of service, so on and so forth. And so first of all, when a server wants to join this cluster, like when I start up a server, the server wants to join this cluster, and it sends the credentials, and that credential is governed by an implementation of this peer authentication. Like a peer authenticator needs to authenticate this server to join this cluster. And that's governed by one peer authenticator. And when a client wants to interact with this cluster, he has to send his credentials, and that's governed by another entity, which is called a client authenticator. And for GenMax client, Before, we used just a GMX authentication mechanism that is governed by the GMX manager password file. So as you can see for now, there are three entities to do your authentication. So that is a complication in the beginning. And for the authorization, we have these different ways for authorization as well. Like for client, we have a client accessor implementation that governs the authorization for your client operations. And GMX manager access file, that's purely a GMX implementation of the access control. So you need to set up all these things to do the authentication authorization. And remember, each of these is a different implementation. So they have to, as a user of Geode cluster, they have to set up first implement a lot of interfaces to do authentication authorization, and they have to configure your cluster correctly. And remember, this is only to configure just one member of the cluster. That's just to configure the locator. And you have to do the same thing again for each of your server too. So this is what the Geode security is like before. It's a very complicated thing to set up and to implement. And for Pulse and REST for client, we didn't have security at all before. And to configure security, you have to configure. Those are the cluster properties you have to configure to set your cluster up, right? So that is a complicated things to do. So that's why this is the challenge we faced before, and we have to unify all those authentication entities so that it's easier for user to use the cluster, to use Geode, and to set up security for their system. So for Geode Security 1.0, that's the new system. That's what's currently we implement for 1.0. We have the same topology. But instead of having all those entities that you need to set up to do authentication and authorization, there's only one thing you need to set up. That is this, we call it the new security manager. And the security manager, once you set up in your locator, and when the server joins the locator, and once it's correctly authenticated by the security manager, and we send this configuration detail back down to the server, so then the server will know to set itself up, to set its security system up by the same security manager. And that's done by Geode's, one of the Geode feature called cluster configuration. So that means security manager configuration is part of the cluster configuration. So once you're authenticated, then all the member in the cluster will share that configuration. So you only need to set up in your locator. You don't have to do individual setup for each of the member. This would solve the discrepancy problem. Like what if you have your cluster set up as a secured cluster, but if your member, one of your member is not secured, then you have a security hole in your system. So we prevent that using cluster configuration. And for all the peripherals you want to join this cluster, it's all secured by the one implementation of security manager. So instead of having to set all the previous list of configuration properties, you only need to set up the security manager. So that's a huge improvement as we see from the previous system. So what is a security manager then? So security manager, it's a single interface to secure your Geode cluster. And as you can see, the interface is very simple. And I listed all the methods you need to implement in this interface. In fact, if you only need to do authentication and you don't have some crazy setup things to do, the only we have default implementation for all three of the methods. You only need to implement the authenticate method. If you don't need to do authorization in your system, you only want to do some simple authentication. So this is just one example. I call it simple security manager. Basically, I show this example here because later on when I do the demo will use this security manager. And this security manager basically authenticates any username that matches the password. So any username that matches password will be authenticated. And authorization, you're giving a principle, which is the result of your authenticated method. You're giving the principal and the resource permission. We'll talk about resource permission in detail later on in the later slides. So basically, you just need to tell me whether this principal is authorized to do this, is authorized for this resource permission or not. So once you implement this thing, then you would have a secure system, secure cluster. And so what is a resource permission then? Resource permission, basically, it's our way to tell you what this user is trying to do. We didn't tell you in detail, like we didn't tell exactly what this user is trying to do, like whether he's doing a get or a put, or whether he's trying to start up a server, or whether he's trying to list out the configuration detail of your cluster. We just tell you the nature of the operation he's trying to do. For example, like the resource permission have at most four parts. It has like what type of resource this user is trying to access, whether it's a data or cluster. So this is the only two value of this resource. And what type of operation this user is trying to do. Is he trying to do a read or a write, or he's trying to manage this cluster or not? And for the data operation, what region he's trying to access. Region here is geode a term for database tables. So we, in geode, we call table as region. So you bear in mind that. So region, what region he's trying to access, and the key, what key he's trying to access in that region. So resource permission contains these four parts. These four parts should tell you the nature of this his operation. So for each operation, no matter where it originates, like no matter whether it's in a client or JMX, just through a JMX client or through a GFish command line, it, no matter where it originates, it has a corresponding resource permission associated with it. For example, when this user is trying to start a server, it's cluster manage resource permission. And when he's trying to list a member, it's cluster read, and so on and so forth. And for a complete list of operations versus resource permission, it's all documented in the geode 1.0 incubating documentation. So I'm not gonna show a full list here. So basically, here is a mapping relationship between a user permission and operations. So to correctly authorize any kind of authentication model, authorization model, basically user is just trying to do a bunch of operations. And to secure the operation, we have to throw in the permission in between the user and the operation he's trying to do. So we have to check whether he has the correct permission to do this operation or not. So if these three elements are aligned correctly, then you would have an effective authorization model. And then who is doing what then? Like we know that operation requires permission, and this part and user has that permission to do that operation. And for the operation to permission mapping, that's defined by the geode security. So we define that mapping. But for the user to permission mapping, that's defined by your implementation of security manager. So if all those three elements are aligned together, then you would have an effective authorization model. So then let me show, so you can see this is the relation between user's permission and operation. But the where is role? Like we heard about in any kind of authorization model, we heard about roles a lot. But in this picture, we don't have role here. Then what about role then? But role is just a way to simplify your implementation of security manager. It's just something you throw in here to effectively control your mapping between user and permissions. Because your security manager needs to tell me what your user to permission mapping is are. But by definition, there are a lot of permutation of permission strings, right? Like for example, we have, because permission, resource permission is resource operations and the regions and keys. So by definition, you have two resource types, three operation types, and the number of regions, number of keys. So there are, by definition, a lot of permutations of resource permissions. So you cannot possibly do the mapping manually. So there must be a way for you to simplify this mapping. And the resource permission, it extends a wildcard. It's called a wildcard permission that has implies feature. So because of the four parts, if you only have one part that implies A implies A and B, and A and B implies A colon B colon C. For example, if your permission, if your user has a data row, that implies this data row can do data manage and data read and data write and can do all the things that's prefixed by data. And the star means all that can be put in of the four parts. So in the end, your implementation can define your user to row mapping and check if that row implies the resource permission or not. And I'll show you an example here. So this is a slightly more sophisticated security manager. In here, you just define a user to row mapping. Like for example, my data admin basically just have a data row, and the cluster admin has a cluster row. So in here, then in your authorize method, you just like what this row this user has and create a wildcard permission with that row and check if that row implies that permission or not. So this would simplify your implementation of Security Manager. And especially for this star, like for example, what if I want a user that can just read everything? I don't have to define like a cluster read or data read. Just say you can read, you can do a star read, you are a star read row. And what if I have a user that I can only, this user can only manage one region or can do everything on the region. So I would just give him a row called data star my region. That means I can manage this region, I can read this region, I can write that region. Remember, read, write, and manage, it's not hierarchical. That doesn't mean, like if I have manage row, doesn't mean that I can automatically read. So you have to specify them explicitly. Post-processor, then. What is a post-processor? So it's an add-on feature that we added to authorization, authentication and authorization. So region is a sort of like a database table entity, but it's unlike a database table entity. It's because we only store key value pairs. So it's a key with a value. And it doesn't have each of the columns as in a traditional database table. So once you have permission to access the key of that table, you get the value out of it. But what if I only want you to see part of the field in that value? For example, my employee region, it saves all the information about the employee. So the employee has first name, last name, address, and social security number as the field of that value, right? But for this user, particular user, for example, I don't want him to see the social security number of the employee object. So before I send the entire object back to the user, I can do post-processing. I can redact out the social security number out of that value and before I do that and then return back to the user. So we add on this post-processing feature in Geode just to do that. So any kind of operation that would resolve, that would result in sending the region value back to the user, for example, our GET through a RESTful service, or a GET through a Java client, or a GET through any GMX operation, then we do post-processing before we send the results back to the user. And of course, query. You can do queries as well. And we do post-processing for the query results as well. And so the post-processing has just one method you need to implement that it has a principal and what region name it's trying to access and what key it is and the object itself. So once you have access to these four elements, you can do whatever kind of post-processing you want to do. For example, just redact out the social security number of this object. But here in this example, I'm just simply print out all the parameter values I was giving. I show this example here because in my demo, I'm going to use this post-processor just to show you the effect of it. Oh, here's the demo. Comes the demo part. So for those of you who haven't used Geode before, I'm just going to use GFish to do the demo here. GFish is a client side, it's a command line tool for you to start up your server, your locator, and to create your region, your database table, and to it's a very convenient way for you to interact with your cluster and server. So, this is where I fire up GFish, and once I do that, I can start a locator with a name called locator one. And a properties file called locator.properties. And what is this locator.properties? So let me just, locator.properties only have three things in there. What is my security manager? What is my security post processor? And MCAS port is just a way for us to see that this is a system that is not a peer-to-peer topology. It's a locator server topology. So basically, the thing that you need to pay attention is the security manager and security post processor. So I'm using those two examples I showed you before, the simple security manager and post processor. So here I'm starting up a locator using that locator properties. And once this locator is started up, hopefully it's going to be quick. There it is. As you can see, so I'm not connected to the locator here because it's not doing an automatic connect for me because my locator is secured. It needs to know a username and password in order to connect to the locator. For GFish to act upon, for example, if I want to see list of all the members of this cluster, I can't because it requires connection to the locator to see what members are I start up in this cluster. So before I do connect, let me stop another server here. Said called server one. And I need to tell which locator is trying to join. So because this server, because it's a cluster and the server, when it start up, you need to tell which locator the server needs to join. So if I do that, if I only do that, it's gonna fail because it says username and password required. Because I'm trying to join a secure locator, it needs to know which username and password it is. So here, instead of just doing that, let me just pass a user, user and password. So if I just use a regular user, so user and user password, what does it say? It still doesn't let me start up the server because my username, it failed security check. Here it says, because my user is not authorized for cluster manage. So here it shows that to start up a server as an admin, I have to have cluster manage right in order to start a server to join the cluster. So you just use a regular user because remember that simple security manager example, to be authorized for a permission string. This is the resource permission that's required to start up a server. And my username has to be the beginning part of that security string. So instead of using a user username, let me use a cluster username. Then I'm able to join it. So I'm able to start up this server correctly using a cluster and using a cluster user. Then remember that when I start a server, I didn't give you a security manager. I didn't give him a property file that has say security manager equals this, post processor equals that, right? So this is where the cluster configuration kicked in. So once my server successfully joins the cluster, let me join the locator. The locator will send down its configuration to the server. So even though I didn't say start my server with this security manager, with this post processor, it is start up with that because it receives the configuration file from the locator. So that this server is start up correctly with the correct security manager. So now if I just connect to this cluster using a regular user, and I want to do list members, once I connect it, so I should be able to see two members started, but I can't because it says unauthorized. That means my user is not authorized for cluster read, as this list member will require cluster read resource permission in order for you to read whatever that's in the member. So let me start up another GFish session and log in as another user. So yeah, let me connect as a cluster user. Oops. So I'm connect as a user cluster, password as cluster, I'm successfully connected. So now let me do a list member. Now I can do it. So this tells me I have a locator and which address is running on, which port is running on, and I have a server. So now let me create a region, that is create a database table. So if I do a create a region, say region one, and type is replicate, I can't do that. So this is just a command for you to create a region. I can't do that as a cluster user because cluster user, replicated. Replicate. Okay. So I can't do that. It says unauthorized. Cluster is not authorized for data manage. So because to create region is a data manage kind type of resource operation. But as a cluster user, I'm not authorized for data manage. So now let's start up another one. Of course, I have to connect first. Let's connect as a data user here then. So now if I do the same command again, as a data user, I'm able to create a region here. So now if I do wanted to do a put, for example, put key as in key one, value as in value one, region as in region one. So I put a value in this region. I'm able to do that as a data user. And as you can see, you can predict if I run the same command as a regular user here, I can't do that because I'm unauthorized as a regular user. I don't have a... So here you can see it tells you what... Oh, I need to bring this thing. It tells you exactly what resource permission you need in order to operate on what operation you're trying to do. So it tells you to do this kind of operation, you need data write region one resource permission. So this would give you a clue what type of user you need to be in order to do that one successfully. So now if I just want to do a get then, in this as a data user, I'm logging as a data user. So if I just say I want to get from this region and key is key one, do I get a value one as a result? No, I get the value, instead of value one as I put in the value, it tells me which user it is, which region, which key, and which value because of that post-processor that I put in, right? Like I said, this cluster is start up using a post-processor, and that post-processor basically concatenates all the four values in your that passed on to your post-processor implementation. So that's also show you the post-processor is taking effect in this operation. And that's the demo part. And after the demo, I'm gonna continue on how do we achieve this? So we managed to do all these things using Apache Shiro project. Apache Shiro project is a Java security framework. That does all those authentication and authorization. So we chose that as a basis for our security system, mostly for two of the reasons. One is the easy to use API. So Apache Shiro is a subject based, and it's a very threat It's once it's resolved what subject it is, it saves the subject in the thread local, so you don't have to pass the subject around in your method calls as well. So every time you need the subject, you just retrieve it from the current thread, and you can then anywhere in your code you can do secure, you can do authorization check. So it's a single method call to do authentication authorization. Like you get the current user out of the thread local. And they have API for you to do that as well. And you do login and you do check permission. So it's very simple to use. And also it's a very powerful one. It has a lot of out-of-the-box implementation for the Realm. So it manages all the authorization using Realms for popular for the Realms, and it provides out-of-the-box realms for the like LDAP. So it has implementation for LDAP security, for the Active Directory security, and any kind of data source out there, popular data sources out there. That's why we chose Apache Shiro to do it. And this is how we use Shiro. So we have all those connectors out there in the geode, like with GMX, REST security, and client, and peer-to-peer, which is the peer-to-peer is the server-to-locator communication, and Pulse as well. So each of those, we have an authenticator in each of the communication front. And once we use Shiro to authenticate the credentials, and once Shiro resolves the subject, we put the subject in the current executing thread, and then anywhere in geode, we can get the subject out and do the security check. And also, the resource permission that you guys see in the previous slides, it is extends the wildcard permission. The wildcard permission is provided by Shiro. So it's easy for us to manage. And also, because Shiro is very thread central, so you have to. We have a few lessons learned by using Shiro, and you need to watch out when you spun up another thread. Like you have to attach the subject to the newly created thread, so that in that thread you can do security check as well, authorization check. And also, sometimes in a multi-threaded environment, like if your client shares thread, then you wouldn't get the right subject out of the thread. For example, especially for GMX, your GMX connection, different clients would share the same GMX connection thread. So the way we resolve that is that we save Shiro's subject into a GMX subject. And whenever we need a Shiro subject, we just retrieve it from the GMX subject. So that's how we resolve that issue. If the clients are sharing threads. But if your clients are not sharing threads, then you're fine. So that's just one thing that we learned using Shiro. You have to watch out for multi-threading. So basically, the security manager that is implemented by the user will get plugged into a custom realm we created, the geode created. And the geode custom realm will get plugged into Shiro's security engine. So once that's wired up, we use that to do authentication, and we use that to do authorization. So basically, Shiro engine will eventually use your implementation of security manager to do authentication and authorization. So that's the architecture of our geode security system. Now, what's coming soon? So for now, this is the current picture, right? You have your security manager that will configure a custom realm, which gets fed into a Shiro security engine. That's good. But for now, we only used its simple to use API feature. We haven't really tapped into its powerfulness yet. As you can see, we didn't use any of its out of the box system, out of the box realm. So what's coming soon is we want to use all the other realms that Shiro provided. So like in our current implementation, you still have to do some coding. You still have to implement an interface in order to configure your security. But like a lot of the complaint we got from our users is like, what if I don't want to do any kind of implementation? Like there should be, like LDAP AD is such a developed a system already, there should be some code out there that I can use instead of, you know, just implementing my own. So Shiro does give you that kind of flexibility. So you can use a Shiro init file that just configure your LDAP's connectivity, right? You can just tell like which LDAP server I want to connect to, and all those configuration details, you just put in an init file and it says, I want to use LDAP realm for it. And then you can configure your Shiro security engine just using some configuration. Like you don't have to implement your own Java code. You don't have to implement a single thing. So you just need to give us a Shiro init file and that will configure our geo security for you.
Obviously you can't necessarily stay the date, but is this next generation of work being already implemented inside the open source?
It is already implemented, but it's not publicized yet. Like it's not in our documentation because we still need to do more testing around it. So that's what's coming soon. So right now we're in 1.0 geode, and it's probably going to be either 1.1 or 1.2. So hopefully, when you start up when you want a secure cluster, you don't need to implement any kind of Java code at all. You just give a configuration. So here's a few resources that I mentioned. So geode, Shiro, and besides Shiro, we also use Spring Security as well because we do have a RESTful service and we do have a Pulse web application, and that's using Spring Security to secure its controllers. But underneath, it's still using Shiro Security when we do real authentication and authorization work. And that concludes my talk. Yes?
Two questions. Can you give more examples of what the plus processing feature can be used to implement? That sounds like it's got a lot of power. And then related to that, if you just mentioned there can be a configuration-based security, does that include plus processing or does the plus processing have to be cut?
Yes, that's a good question. So when we do the security manager and post-processor, some question I got is like, so I see you have, in your security manager, you have authenticate and authorize. Like, why can't you just put a post-processing method in there? That is because of this thing. Like, when, later on, we want to use Shiro init. Like, you don't need a security manager to configure your Shiro security engine. You just need a Shiro init file. But when I use my Shiro init file to configure my authentication and authorization, I don't want to lose my post-processing capability. So that's why post-processor is a different interface. So even you have Shiro init file to configure your security, which is only for authentication and authorization, you can still put a post-processor there. So you can still use a post-processor to post-process your result. And post-processor, because it is, you know, we just give your user a principal object and the value you retrieve from there. So you can do whatever kind of things you want with it. And redacting is just one example I'm giving out there. Like redacting one, like a field you don't want this user to see. And you can do a lot of other things as well, like depending on your use cases.
I was thinking like value-based security, right? So.
Right. Like instead of field-based security, right?
Yeah. So, okay. Or like, you can imagine, you know, your security level 4, so you can see data of objects of that class as long as the security level field doesn't say 5 or above, right?
Yes. Right. You don't have to depend on your security based on the principle of that method. You can based on any of the value of the field value in the value object. You can do that as well. Any other questions? How are you doing on time? You're done? Okay. Great. Thank you.